Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
God, anoint your word to go forth from me today and to help people in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for being here today. You know, I heard a preacher who's extremely well known as an author and pastor. And he said something that is somewhat profound. He said, when I preach like there is a broken heart on every pew. That's pretty profound. That's the kind of stuff he writes. It's really good. It's edifying. It's encouraging stuff. Kind of stuff that lifts you up. But there's a little more to the preaching than just the broken heart. Jesus Christ defined it. And he defined it so well. And he defined it one day in church. He went to church just as a human being, not as the Messiah, but just sitting there. And as the custom was, they gave him the scripture to read from the Old Testament. He stood up, and this is what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus reading this. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. There's that verse. To preach the deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. So it's more than just a broken heart. It is that. If I would be critical today of the modern cleric and our pulpits today, it would be that all of our preaching is about temporal things. And temporal things are needful. It's important that you eat. It's important that you have clothes. It's important that you have a job, that you have transportation. It's important that you have relationships, that your heart that is broken by somebody is healed. Those are important. But I hear very little preaching about eternal values, about supernatural values, and the fact that I am called almost every week now by somebody that I know that has died. It makes me very, very cognizant of eternity. That all of us are going to spend eternity somewhere in heaven or in hell. This is an amazing verse that Jesus read. But he read it and then he sat down. Listen to, and that's what I like about this text. It said, and he sat down. But listen to it in Isaiah. That was in Matthew. Listen to this in Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the broken heart, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Very much, almost verbatim, what Jesus said. But then the next verse is what Jesus did not say. You know, it's important to hear what's said. It's also important to hear what is not said. This is when Jesus sat down. The Bible said Jesus stood, he read, and then he sat down. He stopped mid-sentence. This is what Jesus didn't read. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. If Jesus had read one more phrase, he would have said, I've come to bring the vengeance of our God. But he stopped mid-sentence. It's important to realize that Jesus Christ is the Alpha. He is the beginning. But it's just as important to realize that Jesus Christ is the Omega. As Harold Woodson, my friend, once said, Jesus is the period at the end of the bad sentence. He says, stop. Before Jesus could say the day of vengeance of our God, he sat down. He was one half of one verse from bringing condemnation on this generation that we live in. But Jesus Christ stopped. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the whole only begotten Son of God. He closed the book and sat down before he could bring condemnation. Friend, you don't need to be afraid of Jesus Christ in this dispensation, because he has come to preach to you the healing of the broken heart. He has come to preach deliverance of the captive. He has not come to preach to you condemnation. God sent me therefore, he said in Genesis chapter 45, 7. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. A great deliverance. I'm preaching to you today on the subject delirious for deliverance. Delirious means excited. Excited, beside, he was delirious. He was beside himself with excitement. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know anything that excites me more than the fact that Jesus Christ stood and said, I have come to preach deliverance to the captive. As I look at this world, it is hopelessly without God, encaptured, bound in so many ways. Things happen that are unspeakable. This week, a FedEx man raped a 7-year-old girl and killed her. A beautiful little 7-year-old. Just unspeakable things happen on a daily basis in our society now. The only hope for this world is not better people in the White House. It's more prayerful people in the church house. That's the only hope for America. We must get a hold of the horns of the altar. For Jesus has promised us that he will bind up the broken heart. But praise God, he also wants to bring deliverance. Not only to the broken heart and on every pew, but I want to preach liberty to all that are bruised, no matter the beginning or genesis of the freedom-stealing bruise that they have suffered. I want to preach the opening of the prison to those that are bound, regardless of the structure of their personal prison. I want to preach liberty to the captives and convince them that only and only where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is true liberty. I want to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, which Isaiah prophesied about. Jesus never mentioned it because he was the fulfillment of that prophecy. I want to preach he's coming again. Look up. Ladies and gentlemen, this world is in tatters. It's coming undone at the seams, and it can be held together only momentarily, but Christ will come before the last thread is broken. Jesus is coming again. Most of all, I want to preach deliverance. Oh, sweet deliverance. The only way to preach deliverance is to preach the gospel to the poor. That's what Jesus said. I'll preach the gospel to the poor. Those that are poor financially, but more importantly, those that are poor in spirit. They are destitute, poor in spirit, destitute of hope, bankrupt of faith, lost in sin, awash in shame, bound in sin. When I watch my television news and I see people that are so angry, they look like a different species than you are. I don't care what color they are. You just see the anger, rage in the white man and the black man. It's a different species than the people sitting on these pews today. But Jesus didn't just die for those that are in these pews this morning. He died for the angry man on television. He died for the man that is a murderer and the man that is an addict and a man that wants to kill somebody. Those that are poor in spirit, I want to preach deliverance. I want to preach deliverance from fear. I want to preach deliverance from sin because Jesus can do that. I'm not preaching a Christ I've heard about. I'm preaching a Christ I know. I'm not preaching about somebody else's deliverance. I'm preaching about my deliverance. He saved me. I was born in sin and chafed in iniquity, but he reached his long arm and compassionate hand down and plucked me like a brand from the burning. I'm preaching about deliverance. He saved me. He saved me. I am what I am through the power of Christ. I want to preach deliverance from fear, deliverance from sin, deliverance from spiritual blindness, deliverance from condemnation, deliverance from loneliness, deliverance from abandonment, deliverance from the threat of death, deliverance from the threat of the grave, deliverance from the threat of hell. I want to tell you that God will deliver you. I don't care what you're going through. God can. can set you free. That's the reason we need to be a Bible-believing church. Not just a doctrinal church, not just a philosophical church, not just one that rehearsed the scriptures, but a church where the power of God moves in and people in the pews are shaken by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That same anointing that was on Christ when he walked on this earth is here. That's the reason why he sent the Holy Spirit, that there would be a supernatural invasion into the caverns of darkness and despondency, and he's here today. God said, I will deliver you out of them all. God is a specialist in delivering his people. When Israel was in tremendous bondage and slavery to Egypt, God had a very complicated plan. He brought people out of slavery. When Moses saw the horrors of slavery and he saw the people were suffering and being beaten by the Egyptians, God devised a plan and he brought those people out. And they came out gloriously out of slavery. I don't care what kind of slavery the devil might have you in. God is a deliverer. He can deliver you from alcohol. He can deliver you from sexual addiction. He can deliver you from drugs. He can deliver you from bigotry. He can deliver you from hatred. He can deliver you from racism. I said, my God is able. Call on the Lord. Call on his name. That name that is given under heaven where men must be saved. Call on the name of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a regular customer of God. And I call on the sweet name of Jesus every day. And he delivers me out of my thoughts. Delivers me out of depression. Delivers me out of fear. And he delivered them out of Egypt. But not long out of Egypt, they began to forget what slavery was like. Slavery is awful. It's awful to get up every morning and the first thing on your mind is, I got to get a fix. No matter what I do, I got to get my drugs. I got to steal. I got to do whatever I can. I got to get my fix. That, my friend, is a bondage. My closest thing to bondage, to slavery and addiction is Twinkies. And some days I go a whole day without a Twinkie. Imagine that. It must be terrible to get up and your body's shaking, needing that fix that has become addicted to. You can't live like that. You'll die like that. God wants to deliver us. He wants to bring us into a special place. A holy place, a happy place, a free place. But they had forgotten what it was like, and they began to say one to another, I wished I was back in Egypt. I see people come to Living Way Church, and they come for weeks, months, and years, and then I see them beginning to forget what slavery was like. And I can tell because they begin to miss church. Their praise becomes more subdued. They're just not excited. Friend, I'm excited about my deliverance, and it happened a long time ago. Don't tell me deliverance can't last. I'm 73. I was saved at 10, filled with the Holy Ghost at 13. We're talking about 60 years ago since I had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I am still deliriously happy about my deliverance. When I look on television and I see people that are so pathetic, I don't condemn them. I pray for them. But for the grace of God, there go I. But he delivered me just as surely as he delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. And I will not forget. I will not yearn for the world. I will never say to another Hebrew, I wished I was back in Egypt. I wished we were back in slavery, not me. I don't want to be a part of this world. I'm in this world, but I'm out of this world. I've been delivered from it. I don't want to return to slavery. Let the redeemed, the delivered say so. That's the reason why we come to church and sing the songs we sing. We We have been glorious delivered, and we want to say so. We want the devil in hell to know that we are happy where we are. We want the angels in heaven to know we have been delivered. We want our friends, families, and enemies to know we have been delivered, and we want to say so. But most of all, I want my human spirit to know I am so happy in the Lord. Look what the Lord has done. Look where the Lord has brought me from. Are we looking back? Are we looking forward? Jesus gives us the illustration from the Old Testament when he rescued Lot and his two daughters out of the hell of Sodom. And we are living in Sodom today, ladies and gentlemen. It's an old sermon from Vance Havner, but Sodom had no Bible. Sodom became Sodom because they had no Bible. If we become Sodom, we are even greater sinners because we have a Bible. We are warned of what happened in the past and what's going to happen in the future. And we need to praise God every day that our eyes have been enlightened, that we were blind, but now we see. We used to be bound, but praise God, now I'm free. I'm free. When we shout and dance around here, that's just emblematic of what our spirit is doing. Our spirit is soaring like an eagle. We are free people that have been delivered. And so you need to check yourself and say, am I looking back? What in the world was in Lot's wife's mind, I will never know. Her husband and her two daughters were ahead of her, and they were being delivered as she was. These are the same daughters that were supposed to be sodomized the night before, but God angelically and miraculously delivered them, and now he's taking them out of Sodom. What did she have to look back? What was she looking for? My question is, what in hell do you want? What in hell are you looking for? There's nothing in hell I want. And when this world becomes more hellacious, I want nothing to do with it. I have been delivered. I have been brought out. My dance is not their dance. My song is not their song. My thoughts are not their thoughts. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I consider myself blessed because the Lord has brought me out. I could have died in Sodom. I could have died in sin. I could have died and gone to hell. But the glorious God that I serve sent his son Christ not to condemn me. I was condemned already. He sent his son to deliver me, and he did a very good job of it. He picked me up out of the miry clay. He washed me in his blood, filled me with his spirit, set me apart, and gave me something that is sustaining. I don't know what people have received. The Apostle Paul said they left us because they were never with us. I suppose that is the explanation, but I don't know what they received that didn't last but a year or 5 years, when what I received has lasted 63 years. This is a sustaining deliverance. I long not for Egypt. I don't want to go back. I don't want to make one more brick. I don't want to be beaten by the slave masters one more time. I yearn not for the onions and leeks of Egypt, praise God. I have tasted of the manna, and it's better than the onions of Egypt, and I am happy in the Lord, so I'm not looking back. But the Bible said she looked back, and when she looked back, she was turned into a pillar of salt and frozen there in memorial as a testimony. You can't be looking back. The only thing you do is say, thank God. Thank God. Look where I am. Look where the Lord brought me. I'm not turning back. I'm not going back. I'm not stopping. I want to preach the liberty to the captive and convince them that only where the Spirit of the Lord is their liberty, true liberty. I want to preach to those that are bound. It's amazing to me the hold that sin has on people, the addictions that drugs and alcohol have on people, but I don't find them hopeless because I know my God's power is greater than the devil's sin. There is no limitation to God's power. It can take those in the deepest of sin. in the strongest of addiction and set them free. I praise God for deliverance. I have been delivered, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your deliverance. And that deliverance sets all over this building today. The only way to preach true deliverance is to preach the gospel to the poor. Preach the gospel to the poor, the death, the burial, the resurrection. Christ experienced it all, tempted in all points, descended to hell, stayed 3 days, and came back with a report and said, I've got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Whosoever will, come unto me, and I will set you free. Dottie Rambo, a songwriter that most of you in this building would not even know, sang in our church next door years ago. What a prolific songwriter. But she wrote these words on the sunny banks of sweet deliverance. There's a land where death can never enter, no lonely graves on the hills of God. I'll walk by waters clear and peaceful where wicked men shall never trod. On the sunny banks of sweet deliverance, happy freedom land, my mortal home. I'm going there to live when life is over, on the sunny banks, my home, sweet home. There's a valley green where the warm winds whisper, and the master smiles as the children play. All the sorrow's gone, our burdens lifted, for God himself wipes the tears away. On the sunny banks of sweet deliverance. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not experienced the supernatural delivering power of God on this side of the grave, you won't experience it on that side. It has to happen here. The Bible said, as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. Have you ever had a delivering experience with the Almighty God? Somebody asked me, what's the difference between the church today and the church when you were a boy? And I said, the transformation. When I saw people saved, they were terrible people when I was a kid. The worst people in our neighborhoods would get saved, but they stayed saved. They became lights to the community. They became testimonies everywhere they went. The greatest thing that you can fail at is to not have a testimony. God saved you not only to save you. He saved you to save your family and your friends. And you can't do it without a testimony. You've got to be able to tell them, look where I was and look where I am. Look how God delivered me. God set me free. I used to be a whoremonger. I used to be a streetwalker. I used to be a drug addict. I used to be a liar. I used to be filled with bigotry and hatred and prejudice and racism. But look at me now. God has delivered me. I ask you loud and often in this church, have you been delivered? Have you been set free? And friend, if you have, you can't look back to where you came from. Look forward to where you are going and let everybody know, look what the Lord has done in my life and what God has done for me. He is no respecter of persons. He'll do for you. There's somebody in this building right now that Satan has got a hold of you. He will get a hold of you any way he can, with cancer in your body or cancer in your spirit. Racism is cancer of the spirit. Bigotry is hatred of the heart. Satan will get a hold of you any way he can. But ladies and gentlemen, I promise you that he is no match for Jesus. He is no match for the blood of Jesus. He is no match for the name of Jesus. He's no match for the spirit of Jesus. He's no match for the dominion of Jesus. And Jesus is in this house right now. And you're the only person that can answer the question, do I need deliverance in my life? Nobody else can answer that for you. If you do, you ought to run to this altar today and say, I want the cancer out of my body. I want the cancer out of my spirit. I want the sickness out of my soul. I want the sickness out of my brain, out of my heart, out of my blood system. I want that system gone. I rebuke it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together all over this building and lift our hands and thank God for sweet deliverance. Would you do that in the name of Jesus Christ? Praise God. She's not the worst sinner in this house. I'll guarantee you that. She's just the most sensitive soul in this house.